Good afternoon. Welcome to Why Shamanism Now, a practical path to authenticity with your host, Christina Pratt, director of the Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. She's talking about how shamanic skills can bring us to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, especially when nothing else can. Now, here's your host, Christina Pratt.
Welcome, everyone, to Why Shamanism Now. I call in the ancestors to be with us here today. I call in those who are good and true and beautiful in our ancestral lines to gather around us, to bring in the legacy of those who have gone before us, that we might learn from the mistakes of the past and do something different here in the future that might bring health and well-being and beauty to all living things. I call out to those very beginning ancestors of this world that we know in form, Grandfather Fire, Grandmother Water. I call out to the energy of earth as an element and the air. I call out to these four ancestors to be with us here today to help us to understand why would we work with these elements as part of our spiritual practice. So I call out to the ancestors, all the way back, the ancestors outside of human form, back all the way to the very beginning. I call out to these ancestors to be with us here today to help us as humans to understand. We call out to the earth as a planet, as a being here moving through the universe. We call out to this being and ask her to guide us here today to understand how to be here in form, in human form, in a good way on this planet that contains life in so many, many different forms we do not yet fully understand and yet destroy before they've even come into our awareness. So we call out to the earth to help us to understand how to walk softly here, how to walk with power and grace and beauty on this earth, to live here in a good way with a feeling of grounding, connection, and belonging. And from that place of home, sense of power, a sense of connection to our ancestors and all that has gone before us, we reach up into the sky energies and we reach all the way up through the sky, through the atmosphere, through the cosmos, all the way out to the highest power of the universe. And by whatever name you call that power, call it down. Call it into our circle here today to bring us blessings, to bring us protection, to bring us guidance, to bring us the generosity and the benevolence of this universe that we live in, to bring this energy round us so that we are held well and things can proceed here today and any day that this show is listened to through the downloads in a good way. So we call out to the energy of the sky above and the earth below. We call these energies into ourselves and into our circle. And in that beautiful alchemical dance between heaven and earth, life as we know it exists. And we call out to that power and magic and miracle of life to be with us here today. We call up the energies of our belly and down the energies of our mind into our heart, and we call out the energy of the heart to be with us here today, to blend and merge and rectify our energies within us that we might know today why we are here and use all that we discuss here today to help us to walk the path of bringing our unique soul's purpose into manifestation in this life and to do it now, while we are able to enjoy the fruits of those labors. So welcome, everyone, today to today's show. The topic today is why we work with the elements. One of the things you may have noticed as you've looked at different indigenous practices is that they all involve the elements. Some are three-element systems, some are four-element systems, and some are five-element systems. And shamanically speaking, shamanic cultures are pretty much divided about 50-50 between five-element and four-element systems. And so as I talk about the elements here today, I'll speak from my own experience, which is a four-element system. But I want everyone to understand that I'm simply speaking of elemental systems. I can only speak with any sense or reason or clarity from what I work with. But understand that an elemental system is an elemental system, whether it's three or four or five elements. The systems all work. There is no right. There is no wrong. All we want is function. We want these elemental systems to function for us. So understand that though I'll often refer to the four elements in my show here today, I mean to be inclusive of the three-element systems that work in shamanic cultures around the world and the five-element systems that work in shamanic cultures and other cultures simply around the world, all over Asia and Africa. So in the beginning, in a time, before there was any sense of time or space as we might understand it, in the beginning, before there was anything that we could possibly understand, there was nothing. And there was a nothing that wasn't defined by everything. It was a nothing that defined itself. And in the that vast nothingness, for reasons we may never understand, and if we could, if we knew them, we probably couldn't fathom them. For some reason, this great, vast nothingness dreamt. And out of that dream came the first spark of fire. Grandfather Fire was born. And it is the nature of this dreaming that with that spark of fire came a crystal of ice, Grandmother Water. Because out there in the vast nothingness, of course, water exists as ice. And so water and fire were born together of the dream. The very first elements, the very first ancestors, brought into form out of the great mystery, the great void, the great unknown, the great nothingness. And so out of this dream was born life, the beginning of life as we understand. Fire and water. And fire and water, being born of the dream, are dreamers. And fire and water dreamt, and from their dreaming comes the other elements. From their dreaming comes elemental earth and air. And these energies in their elemental forms dreamt. And as they dreamt, we got universes. As universes dreamt, we got galaxies, because you must remember, everything born of the dream is a dreamer. And from the universes, we get stars, and from stars, of course, we have what we would call suns, who dream of planets, and planets dream. And the dreaming of our planet brought a dance of these elements, fire and water and earth and air, dancing in their elemental molecular forms, dancing and creating life, ultimately, so that we might be here today, that our ancestors might have been here in the past. And as they are born of the dreaming, they dreamt so that we could be here today. And as we are here today with all of the elements and all the many manifestations of all of the dreaming, we are dreaming as well. And what we must understand is that our dreams shape reality, as do the dreams of fire and water and trees and birds. But because of the nature of humans, we are capable of dreaming against our nature. Unlike all the other manifest forms that are born of the dream and are dreaming reality into existence, we have this incredible capacity as humans to dream contrary to our nature. And while sometimes that contrary nature can create great innovation, often it creates the qualities of death and destruction and distraction and creates a great big mess. And out of these nightmare dreamings have come stories. Stories that our ancestors floundered in. Stories our ancestors never found a way out of. And so the reason that we work with the elements is as an effort to reach out of the morass of these floundering stories, to get back to these essential elements so that we can be reminded of what it feels like to be with an energy that is true to its nature, that we might be reminded to be true to our own nature. And from that place, that moment of truth within ourselves, to dream powerfully. And in that, as spiritual adults then, to clean up our dreaming so that we are adding to the collective dream that is being dreamt by all things, all life, even things we don't actually subscribe life to, are dreaming. Fire, water, earth, air. As all of these things are dreaming, we need to understand our unique responsibility as human beings to clean up our dreaming so that our dreams are good for all living things and do not create a nightmare of chaos and destruction that is not the co-creative chaos of the natural cycles of life where all things are surrendered to their nature and doing what it is that they do. But this craziness that we're able to create as humans, it's a unique gift. It allows us to make art, to make dance, to make music, to make brilliance, genius, incredible beauty. One of the themes in science fiction is that races of beings, far more advanced than we are, honor us for what we create in our art. Not our technology, not any of these other things we think we're so special about, but our incredible capacity as human beings to create, to make beauty. And it's from our dreaming that this beauty emerges. And so we work with the elements to grow up here and clean up our dreaming, that we might dream beauty. And so this is what we're here to talk about today, is the elements. They are our first and most ancient ancestors. And the energy of the elements is simple and non-human. And why does that matter? Because it helps us to get out of the complex, complicated, twisted energy that humanity manifests so easily. So as we continue today, this is what we shall discuss. Why we would bother to work with the elements and how to do that. I hope you all join me after the break for more discussion of why we work with the elements. Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Christina Pratt, and today we are talking about working with the elements. And I am speaking specifically about working with earth, air, fire, and water. So there are three main things that we gain in working with the elements, or words that I'm going to be using as we talk about this today. That the elements can be considered true energies. They present a kind of truth in our world. And so what we get from working with the elements then is that reflection, a clearer mirror of a true energy to help us to find the true energies within ourselves. You know, what is authentic to you? What is learned? What is a story? What is what you've become afraid of being? But to help to see a glimmer of your true energies. The elemental energies are also essence energies, and they, through right relationship with these essence energies, we gain gifts. And the elements themselves offer gifts if we can surrender to right relationship with them. And in case I don't come back around to this point in the show, let me point out that the main key to coming into right relationship with non-human things is to not demand that they be human to communicate with you or to connect with you. So if you want to communicate with water, become watery yourself. So let's see, where do we go to? So then the last of the three things I wanted to talk about was just the power there is in being with something that is 100% surrendered to its own true nature. It helps us to feel, again, that clear reflection of something that is in its true nature so that we can begin to find our own. One of the things, one of the beginnings of my inkling of my understanding about working with the elements comes at the end of fire rituals. I do a lot of fire ritual transformational work with my people in my workshops. And at the end, when we're giving gratitude to the fire for all this energy that it has transformed for us, and these are energies in our life, psychological, emotional, physical, spiritual patterns of energy that have just kicked our butts. You know, we just have not been able to transform them. So in these fire rituals, we are asking spirit to enter in through the ritual to help us to transform these energies that no longer serve us. And so we're at the end of these rituals. The energies are released. There's freedom. There's openness. There's this new possibility. And the question at that moment is always, in my mind, it's always, what are these people going to do now? Are they going to be able to step into a new possibility, or are they going to go right back into the old patterns? That's always a question I have at that moment as I go up to the fire and I give the fire gratitude for all that is done for us in that fire ritual, for transforming these energies, giving us this freedom. And I want, in my heart, I want these people to use the freedom the fire has given them and to use it well. And I'm always reminded by the fire in that moment to look into the heart of that fire, an energy that is so truly and completely and only itself. It's not many different things. It's one thing. It's utterly and completely fire. It's totally surrendered to its true nature. And in that moment, I always remind people, because the fire is reminding me, to look into that fire and see the power of the transformational power of something surrendered to its true nature. It's taken this energy that we have been struggling with for years, and in minutes, it is gone. It is literally and completely, truly in the physical world, transformed into ash. That's enormous power, and we have that same kind of power if we can surrender to our true nature. So this is what I'm talking about the value of working with the elements. And one of the problems with training these days is, of course, working with the elements is one of those things, the answer you're going to get from your teachers mostly is, well, that's how we do it. And as I have said many times before on my show, that is not good enough. That is not a good enough answer. That we need to understand the energetic mechanism of why we're doing what we're doing. I'm not saying we need to talk it through intellectually and have some academic understanding. We need to get in our gut what we are doing when we're doing it. We need to understand the function. And so this is what I'm going to attempt to continue to talk about here today. So what I wanted to share here, just a little disclaimer before we go any further, I frankly find normal academic terms like animism and ancestor worship or elemental worship or these things really annoying. They're always offered with a somewhat derogatory tone. There are very few people I've ever heard say these words without being a little bit on their high horse, because we as contemporary people have these beautiful religions, and they're so much better than all of these other things. And I frankly don't think that that's true. And I feel like, so first, I don't like the derogatory tone in these terms, these academic terms. And so that's the first thing that annoys me. But the second thing that I think is more annoying is that they're very misleading. Ancestor worship. It's very misleading for people, contemporary people, who go off to a church or a temple or a mosque to worship. When you say ancestor worship, it equates to what people are doing, and it doesn't equate at all. That what these practices are about, whether it's the ancestors or the elements or nature or the mountain that you live with or the ocean or whatever, it's about maintaining a relationship with an energy that can help you in your life. And of course, at its best, that is the value of religion, is in theory, it should be helping you to maintain a relationship with whatever energies that religion focuses on so that that energy can help you in your life. But that's the point. Is it's not about this thing where you go through the motions and somehow that's going to help you. That these practices of working with the elements or the ancestors or whatever are about literally being willing to surrender yourself and enter into an energetic relationship with these energies so they can help you. And you have to actually participate. Not enough to go through the motions. You have to be real. Because one of the things about shamanism that I absolutely love and adore is it's got this monstrously huge bullshit meter. And going through the motions doesn't do it. And that's the beauty of shamanism, is you know it. It just doesn't work. And so while there is a great deal of repetition in ceremony, and ceremony does work, to do that in a way that is empty or vacuous or without any understanding or focused intention, is it doesn't work. That's the beauty of shamanism, is you've got to do it for real. So elements. Okay. So we have been exploring in my student community why we work with the elements. Why do all of these shamanic cultures have this in their sort of medicine wheel cosmology of their lives? What is the value of working with the elements, and what does it mean to truly work with the elements? And so one of the things this community of people has done, and this is a group of people, right now we're at about 75, we're about to bump up to almost 90 people as the new group comes in this year. But what we've been exploring in the community, in the ongoing community around these teachings, is the elements, and what is the value of bringing these elemental energies literally into the community. And so what we did is we were guided by spirit to do what, frankly, shamanic people have done all over the globe forever, but it's been lost largely in contemporary practices, is to designate shrine tenders, to designate a shrine, a literal physical shrine to each of the elements, and a person to tend that shrine on behalf of the community. And so the shrine then becomes a conduit or an opening into the community. And understand this, my community is non-local. We are not in a little village somewhere. We do not all live in Portland, Oregon. We are all over the United States plus. We've got people, you know, small numbers of people in various other countries. And so the community is non-local, and this is a very interesting new thing, but basically we're working with the elements for this community. And so these shrine tenders' job then is to enter into an everyday working relationship of cultivating right relationship with the elements so they can come through these enormous conduits of these shrines and come pouring into the fabric of the community, and these elemental energies can be then available to us to do the transformational growth organizational work that we need to do to function as a happy, healthy, engaged community. So what the elements then help us to do first is, as I've just said, they become these direct conduits that allow spirit to come in and infuse the space. And so these energies are pure energies. The elemental energies are pure energies, but they're varied. You know, instead of always just working with light, right, that we get these other pure energies that have a variety of qualities that help us then as humans explore our own variety and diversity as humans. These elemental energies in their presence help us because pure elemental true energies are so simple. There is a beauty of getting into them like getting into a bath. It's like, oh, it's such a relief. Everything's simplified. And so these elemental energies, if we can bask in the earth or the air or the fire or the water, we can disengage from the crazy complexity of our stories. And so the elements help us to disengage from our stories. They also help us then to engage or to re-engage with what's really going on. What is operating below the story? What's truly motivating what we're watching on the surface? And so the elemental, to being in relationship with the elemental energies, helps us to connect with the flow of the real energies and to focus on these energies and thus not be succumbing to that tendency to get distracted into the chaotic craziness of everyday life. And so what we're looking at then is the value of a complete system of elements and how the complete system of elements then helps us not only to connect with real energies, but to create a kind of balance and flow with life. So we'll continue with this when we return from this break. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. And today we are talking about working with the elements. And as we were going into that last break, I was talking about complete systems. In other words, you know, someone could say, well, why don't I just work with one element? And working with one element at a time isn't such a bad thing, but working with one element, you're more than likely to choose the element. Actually, that's already your elemental home. In other words, it's already sort of your nature. And so you'll have a tendency then to, it's kind of like when people get dogs that look like they do. I mean, we have a tendency to gravitate towards what is familiar to us. And so you may pick earth, for example, and then work with earth and then become ever more mired in the potential excess of that energy. Because the beauty of the elemental system, very much like Chinese medicine, is that there is an understanding in the systems of the elements that any element, it can be in excess, is too much of a good thing. And that any element in scarcity is, of course, starving for a good thing. And so what's important about these elemental energies is together as a system, whether it's three-element system, four- or five-element system, they balance out each other. And so to be bringing all the elements of your system into your life, they can help you then to create a balance and flow of life that allows you then to recognize excesses or scarcities and to find the energy necessary to balance it. Because it's important to understand, especially for those of you that never engaged in traditional Chinese medicine, is that let's say that you have an excess of an energy. Is that because you've got too much of that energy, or you actually have too much of whatever energies nourish that energy, so it's creating more of that? Or do you have nothing, a total scarcity of an energy that would balance or temper that energy? And so there's a lot of dynamic when you get an energetic system, like a four-element or five-element system going in your world, and this helps you then to work yourself on your own places of excess or scarcity. The other thing we can do is we can go directly to an element for something that we are missing in our life. For example, often when I am in situations where there are relationships in my life that need to find reconciliation, there needs to be some coming to a place of peace and release in that energy, I'll spend a lot of time at my water shrine, making offerings to the water and speaking to the water and asking for the water's help to guide me in what needs to happen to create reconciliation. Another place that I've gone, there was a time in my life where no matter where I was, I didn't belong. It was very painful for me. And it was through working with the earth, and actually through the earth working with my ancestors, but primarily working with the earth and my ancestors, that gave me a sense of belonging that went with me. So now, no matter where I am, I have a sense of belonging. I can decide whether I'm going to choose to fit in or not, but I still have a sense of belonging. So these are just examples from my own life of understanding, you know, through my understanding of what qualities the elements translate into in terms of being human qualities, how do the elemental qualities translate into human qualities? To understanding that then allows me to go to the element when I need more of that human quality in my life. One of the things to understand then about working with these elements is that they are true nourishment for our spirit. I mean, I know that you feel this intuitively, whether you've ever thought about it before or not, but the way most of us live our typical American life is very challenging for our soul. It's very challenging for our spirit. And it gets exhausted or starved. And one of the things that I sense when I begin to focus back in on the elements is that there's an aspect of my soul energy that just goes, oh, that these true elemental energies, this is also true actually working with essence energies, but same idea. Working with these elemental energies is true nourishment for your soul. And these elemental systems are found in shamanic cultures all around the globe. And when we open up, as these shamanic cultures knew how to do, when we open up to relationship with the elements as a system, it nourishes our spirit, and then spirit grows stronger within us. Without even changing our day, you know, so we have this day that's hard on our soul, right? And we bring into that day working with the elements. That can still strengthen and nourish the soul in your day, even if you haven't changed the way you live your day out in the world. And one of the most beautiful things I ever saw, actually, with bringing indigenous shamans here into the United States, is they would say things like, how beautiful that you value nature so much you take the time to plant it in the middle of your freeways. How beautiful that you have water, running water in so many rooms in your house, that you bring it into your house. And this one shaman was just ecstatic because they could take a shower every day and just do this whole process of praying to the energy of the water. On a daily basis, it seemed like such an enormous luxury. And their perspective was that we must have such a strong relationship with the elements if we are to bring them into our homes in the way that we do. I thought that was such a beautiful misunderstanding of us. But it also made me realize that I could turn that around and really connect with the earth and the air and the fire and the water that was in my home. And that's a good thing in Portland, because it rains a lot here, and sometimes you don't want to go outside. But there's always a way, then, to connect and to be with the elements. And then that relationship with the elements that nourishes the spirit makes the voice of your spirit grow stronger. And so you can begin to hear that voice in that cacophony of a noisy contemporary American life. And you begin to hear that voice in the midst of everything. You may not have changed everything. All you've changed is this one choice to work with the elements to nourish your spirit. Now, for that to happen, we need to ask for help from spirit usually, and we must be willing to surrender to the help that the elements give. And where I see most people block that step is unconsciously they want the earth or the air or the fire or the water to stand up and act like a human, and so that it won't be so foreign and so scary. And what we need to do is to switch that thinking and that expectation, and to remember that we go to the elements precisely for their non-human qualities, for the fact that they are pure, that they are not complex, they are simple, they are essential, they are utterly and completely surrendered to their true nature. And that feels very foreign to us often. And so we go to them for those energies. And so we need to surrender our complex humanness, that expectation that the spirits are all going to show up to us as gods and goddesses. We need to drop that and let the elementals present themselves as they are. And to love them and respect them for that true nature, because that is one of the main reasons to go to them, is to experience that. So, in other words, we need to be able to surrender to their nature and to allow them to help us by being who they are, and letting that inspire us to be who we are, to help us, to heal us, to bring us out of scarcity and out of excess, and ultimately help us to be who we are. And in doing that, by just working with the elements and coming into right relationship with these elemental energies, one of the things that happens unconsciously is you start downshifting out of your story, out of all these things you believe about your human life. And if I connect that back to the opening of this show, you start to downshift out of all that nightmare dreaming you're doing and begin to fall back into a natural right relationship with yourself. And in doing that, you can fall into more of a right relationship with others, and from that, a more of a right relationship with the environment, and ultimately more of a right relationship with the spirit world. And this all can come layer after layer after layer simply by surrendering to the elements and making this one choice to begin to work with them each day. And in the beginning of my practice, and for many years into my practice, I had one altar that had all four elements on it. Now, at this time in my life, because of what my life has grown into, and that I have a student community and a client population and a lot of other people that are somewhat supported by my own relationship with spirit, I have altars to all four elements, so they all have their own place. But in the beginning, it doesn't have to be complicated. My travel altar fits in a little tiny cosmetic bag, and it has a little tiny piece of each of the four elements in it, and I take that with me wherever I go. So, again, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's a simple choice to choose to begin to honor each of the four elements, or five or three, whatever your system is, and begin to work with these elements. And in doing so, coming into right relationship with yourself, and then through that with others, and then through that with your environment, and then through that with the spirit world. And before you know it, everything's working. And so there are very special gifts that the elemental energies offer us. There are elemental qualities. So, for example, you can call in the energy of the fire. And through that energy of the fire, there are certain elemental qualities of transformation, of warmth. In many cultures, they're believed to be a conduit to the fire, essentially the fire of life, that spark of life that is in all people, past and present. So they're a conduit. The fire becomes a conduit then, connecting all the sparks of life and all the people to your ancestors, and then forward to your descendants. The fire is the place that we gather So there are all these energies that are about this elemental energy of the fire. The most important gift it offers us in ritual, of course, is instantaneous or almost instantaneous transformation. But that ultimately, if we call all the elements of the fire together, the fire gives us the gift of courage. And with the water, similarly, the water has many elemental qualities. The biggest, of course, is to get us to flow and to get us to understand how to get over the tight places and the rough places and the hard places and to simply to flow and to flow downhill, essentially, to flow towards the source. And if you draw all these elemental energies of the water together, and there are many, but if you draw them all together, the gift that water gives us as humans is the ability to change as is needed without losing your true self. Many of us are good at changing, but we sacrifice ourselves along the way. And so the gift of the water as an elemental energy is that capacity to flow and change however is needed without losing your true self, so that you're always tapping back to the source. Now, Earth, similar. Earth has many qualities, home, groundedness, belonging, all these energies that are very Earth-like and beautiful, stability. But when you wrap all of these elements together, the gift that comes to us through the Earth element is presence. And without that ability to show up and to be present, to take a stand, to live for what you believe in, all else is lost. That energy of presence allows you just enough warriorship to engage everything else that needs to happen in your life. It's critical. And then finally, with air. And there are many beautiful elemental qualities of air. Inspiration and innovation, illumination, creativity, vision, dreaming, all these great air energies. Not grounding, which is why air needs to be present with earth and earth with air. But that ultimately, when you take all these elemental energies of the air together, one of the great gifts of air is breath. How many times is everything that's going on made better if you simply remember to breathe? But more importantly, breath itself is a reminder, moment-to-moment reminder, that it is always possible to release that which is not serving you. And it is always possible in each moment to begin anew, that we are never stuck with what we have, and we are never without the freedom to begin again, to start anew. And so that gift of breath and that reminder of breathing in and breathing out, that in every moment we are releasing what no longer serves us and drawing in what will serve us, and that in that is that opportunity always to begin again, which is basically the message of Easter, that possibility to begin anew. And so these are some of the elemental energies, gifts of the elemental energies that they offer us. And what I'd like to do is, as we come into the next, after the next break, then, is just to talk about how we give gratitude to these elemental energies. That one of the ways that we communicate with spirit, with things in invisible form, is that we make offerings. That we can make offerings of song, we can make offerings of dance, we can make offerings of prayer, but that we make offerings. And it is through these offerings that we begin to feed and nourish our relationship with the elements. And the different elements have often, traditionally in different cultures, asked for different offerings. But one of the things that I see is consistent across the elements and across elemental systems is that the elements are almost always nourished by song. By song, by blessings, and by prayer. And so you can never go wrong offering the different elemental energies a song. So what I would like to do now as we is to kind of wrap up this conversation here about the elements and how we make offerings to the elements and how we open up our relationship with the elements, with the understanding that it is because they are elements that we work with them, because they are simple, pure, and true, that they simplify our lives and simplify the energy. And in doing that, they allow us to find in the reflection of these elements, in relationship with them, we get reflection. And in that reflection, they allow us to find our own true nature in its simplicity, in its truth, in its purity, in its essence. And so that is the primary reason that we engage with elemental energy. They are our oldest ancestors. Before there were people, before there were planets, before there was even a universe for the planets to spin through, there were elemental energy. And so we go to them because they are at the beginning, when it was simple, when the dreaming was pure, when there were no nightmares. And we ask these elements to help each one of us to return to that place and time. So I encourage you all to make that simple choice. Begin to work with the elements in whatever way is traditional for your ancestors, a three-element system or a four-element system or a five-element system, and to bring that simplicity and essence energy into your life to support you in surrendering to your own true nature. So I'd like to give thanks here today to the energy of the earth and the air and the fire and the water, to these elemental energies for being our ancestors and be dreaming the dream that ultimately brought us here to this planet. And I give thanks to our own human ancestors for their part in that dreaming, for being with us, standing with us, that we might learn from their mistakes and draw on their legacy. I give thanks to the energy of the earth below and the sky above and the heart between that unites us all. And may we use that heart and truly be strong people in the world. And I want to give thanks to everyone for listening here today. Our show next week will be Two True Paths to Transformation. We'll be talking about death and rebirth, and death as an ally, but also talking about the transformation from enemy to ally and that path of transformation through love. And so that's our show topic next week. And I hope that you all will remember that next week, Why Shamanism Now will be airing on Tuesday, not Wednesday, at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. And you'll need to click on www.co-creatornetwork.com. And the show will be broadcast live right on the homepage of the network. So that's www.co-creatornetwork.com. And the mission of Co-Creator Network is devoted to encouraging and facilitating experiences of positive well-being, health, and vitality, so as to intentionally co-create the changes we wish to see in our world, so that we create a greater global consciousness for the good of all life and this planet. And it seems to me that the mission of Co-Creator Network is aligned with Why Shamanism Now and what we are wanting to create with what we talk about here on the show. And so the Co-Creator Network continues in saying that if you take responsibility for your own thoughts and make new choices and decisions based on love, gratitude, and acceptance, you can achieve mastery over your own well-being and happiness. Sounds familiar? And so part of the value, I think, of making a shift to a network like this is it will resonate more accurately with the mission and the intention of this show. And Co-Creator Network's perspective is that you can be the captain of your own ship, and by choosing to be the co-creator of your own life experience, and that the time is now to do that. So for those of you who download the show through iTunes, I hope that from your perspective, nothing will change, that the shows will continue to be available to you through iTunes. For those of you that download through the Voice America page, you'll be able to download similarly through the co-creator page. And if you have any questions or frustrations or need any guidance on how to get where you need to go to stay with the show, you can email me at christina@lastmaskcenter.org. Within the next few days, the new website for Last Mask Center will go live, and there'll be more information about the radio show there. But in the meantime, we're posting the information that you need on Facebook. So you can go to Why Shamanism Now on Facebook, and we're posting the information as soon as we have it there for those of you that have become fans of the show on Facebook. I want to give thanks to Voice America, especially the technicians who each week do such a great job recording the shows. They're really very kind to me, and I want to give great thanks to them for their weekly showing up to help me. I want to give thanks to my producer, Tony Tomko, and to everyone else at Voice America who has had a hand in making the show successful, so that is there to reach people around the globe. I also want to give thanks to Andrea and John and Linda, who support me on my end to promote the show and to make it available for you free on iTunes. So just remember that you can still subscribe to our weekly e-card reminders about the show. Just contact me at christina@lastmaskcenter.org. This show will be available on the Voice America site tomorrow and also on the iTunes stores. And for more information about the Encyclopedia of Shamanism, classes, workshops, any of that stuff, you can always go to our website, www.lastmaskcenter.org. And as always, please share the information about this show with others. Please forward the link and help the show continue to grow. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Why Shamanism Now, and I hope you will follow me and the show as we move to our new network and our new time. Thank you, everyone.